Amen.
Praise the Lord, brothers.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, brothers.
Amen.
Are you enjoying the conference so far?
Amen.
Oh, I tell you, I feel like we're on a date with the Lord.
Amen.
And we've left everyone else, and we're just taking a walk with Him.
Amen.
And He's saying, you know what, let me speak something to you.
Amen.
Something that's kind of a secret. All your friends at school don't know this, but I'm going to whisper it in your ear. And I feel like from the first meeting, the Lord's been whispering secrets to us. So that we, by His mercy, would not be a part of all those who are deceived. Right? Rather, we would be clear that we are made to be His duplication. There are a number of points that we would like to cover with you, but before we do, we'd like to go back and have a little bit of a review. Without looking at your outlines, without looking, and the Lord knows if you're looking, I don't know, but the Lord knows, without looking at your outline, who can tell me what was the main point of the first point in message one? You don't have to quote it. Just, you know, in general, what did it say? That was in message two, right? So hang on to that. That's the title of the whole conference, The Normal Fruit-Bearing Life, okay? We're honing in here. God's eternal purpose, very good. I'm looking for a specific word that Brother Michio has not yet erased. In the back. Huh? No. It's what he's erasing now. What is it? I know you know. Duplication.
Amen.
Listen, we are God's duplication.
Amen.
This is big. This is big. This isn't small. Big, big, big. Right? What if I would say, all right, brothers, I am going to make you Michael Jordan's duplication. Ha-ha. Right? Who would like to be Michael Jordan's duplication? Put your hands down, brothers. Listen. Not tonight. I don't know about tomorrow. Listen, Michael Jordan, you know, is one kind of thing with one kind of function. He's very good at taking this little leather ball and putting it through a red round hoop, right? How wonderful is this? He gets paid a lot of money for being able to take a ball and put it into a hoop. Okay? I have to confess, right? He does it very well. But would you want to be Michael Jordan's duplication? Or listen to this. I mean, this is so big, it's hard to wrap your head around it. Or would you rather be the duplication of God? Right? What are we talking about this weekend? The duplication of God. And that was just the first point of the first outline. This isn't our imagination. This isn't our thought, you know. The brothers didn't sit in a room somewhere and go, what would be really cool? Let's make something up. How about, let's say, that we are God's duplication. Oh, that's awesome, right? No, it wasn't from our imagination. The Bible says this. Genesis, again and again, several times, makes it clear. All of the birds, all of the animals were made after their own kind.
Amen.
Right? I'm not an expert in birds. Ornithologist. Right? I mean, I don't know if it's a red-tailed hawk thing or a whooping, what's it? Right? But I can tell you, that's a bird. Right? It's a bird. If it's a small bird, a big bird, a little bird, that thing there has feathers and it's a bird. Why? Because all the birds are made after the bird kind. Was made after their own kind. I'm not an expert in cattle, cattleology. But I can tell you, if something moves and looks a certain way, that thing there is a cow, right? May have these kind of spots and those kind of horns. I don't know what kind of cow it is, but it's cow kind. It's cow kind. If you read the account of creation, listen, in Genesis, it's clear. The birds were made after their kind. The cattle of the earth made after their kind. The fish of the sea were made after their own kind. The pattern is consistent, consistent, consistent. Then God made man. Notice what the Bible now here does not say. The Bible does not say he made man after man's own kind. He broke the pattern. You don't break the pattern unless there's a reason for it. He broke the pattern. Man, the last and highest item of his creation, for which every preceding thing was for. The heavens were for this. The earth was made for this. Rain, the sun, the stars, all the animals was made for man, to sustain this man. And this man was made how? With God's image inwardly and his likeness. Is this not a duplication of God? See, this is not our imagination. This is God's desire. You know who knows this? You know who knows it more than we know this? Perhaps the only other person that knows it more than this person is God himself. Do you know who this is? Who's very clear about the purpose of man? It's Satan. That's right. That's right. That's why. That's why. Satan did not come to tempt a hamster. Satan did not come to usurp and to inject himself as sin into the members of the of a elephant. Listen, he saw how God made the elephants, and it was no big deal. Then he saw how God made man, and it was a big deal. He realized God is making a copy of himself. He's making an army to take over this earth, looking just like him, with his image. And then he was clear. This man was given the dominion over everything. Satan knew, man's the center. Get this guy. Get this guy. Focus on him. Focus on him. Forget about the hamsters. Forget about the gerbils. Let the dogs chase the cats and the cats chase the mice. Forget about that. Focus on this man. Have you ever thought about that? I don't know how clear we are about this, but the evil one is very clear. Now, I don't want to give him any credit, but we have to say he's clear on this. So he attacked. He attacked first the woman in a tricky, cunning, lying way. Then through her, he got into Adam. And Adam, as the head of all of creation, fell. And when Adam fell as the head, all of creation fell. So now, So now, according to 1 John 5:19, the whole world just lies in the evil one. And this whole world is a systematized arrangement that Satan has been developing over the last 6,000 years, like a big tree with many branches that has never been trimmed, so it's twining all over the place. The world has been developing under the direction of Satan for 6,000 years with one purpose: to get man, to develop a system, develop an entire world system that deceives. He was a liar from the beginning. His system is a system of lies. We realize this weekend we have a monumental task. It's not impossible, because with God all things are possible. But what we all have to do, and you need to exercise so that this could happen, what we all have to do is unsee what the world wants us to see, and see the reality. The world says Michael Jordan is the top. Unsee that. Look past it. Sorry, I don't know the man. But Michael Jordan has spent a lot of his life putting balls in hoops. And when he gets to be 80, or when he is breathing his last, what kind of a life will he look back on? I've given my whole life to playing a game. I've been playing a game like a kid my whole life. And I have influenced a number of generations to do the same thing. I want to be like Mike and waste my life like this. Can you unsee that, young people? Do you realize that whole thing is a part of the system? A system of error? Who sees God's purpose? Who sees the real value of man? We should see this. All of us in this room should know. Praise the Lord. I'm in junior high, but I'm a man. I have been made for the highest purpose. I have been made to be the duplication of God. Amen. So that's message one, right? How we were made. Man fell to be the opposite of what man was made for. But then the Lord Jesus, I was so encouraged, message one concludes, Brother Armin, with a real, genuine, normal man. The Lord Jesus, as a genuine man, lived a human life for 33 and a half years. Didn't miss a single aspect of the human life. He was in the womb for a full 3 months. Is that how long it takes? Why would it have to take so long for God? Right? I mean, he's God. Can't he speed things up a bit? Yeah, I could. But he didn't want to. He wanted to live a normal life. Not in any way miraculous. It would have been a miracle to have a child, you know, 3 months in the womb, boom, and then ready to go. That's not what he was interested in. A normal life. I remember when I was in junior high a couple of weeks ago, right? Like I said. And one of the most important things to me when I was in junior high was to be normal. Actually, more than that, was to not be, you know, abnormal. Right? We had a kid in our class who loved being abnormal. And I'm afraid that it became kind of who he was. So everything he did, he wanted it to be abnormal. That's how he got attention, you know, that's how. So he would do these abnormal things. Well, I didn't want to be like that. I really didn't want to. I wanted to be beige, you know, tan, not red, nothing like that. Just, you know, blend in, normal. But what was the scariest thing was that I would be some kind of a, you know, abnormal thing. Well, I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus was not at all abnormal. He was not at all a kind of a freak. He was not at all someone who people would mock in a weird way. Even his appearance was not very handsome. But still, there was something about him. There was something about this man. He was totally normal. In Matthew, there's an account. Matthew 4, the Lord was tempted by the serpent, by the devil. And in that temptation, the devil's goal was to get the Lord to not be a normal man, to turn to something miraculous, to take the standing as the Son of God rather than the Son of Man. And so the Lord was in the wilderness fasting, and at the end of that time he was very, very hungry. And the devil came to him and said, "If you're the Son of God, make these stones become loaves of bread." Right? If you're the Son of God, you can do this. What would you have done? You know, I have to admit, huh? Oh, man, the biggest loaf of bread you ever saw. Right? I mean, here's your enemy right in front of you, mocking you. Ah, come on. If you're really the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. I would have went, bing, and it's like, bread everywhere, right? The Lord said, "Man shall not live on bread alone." Man shall not live. Took his standing as a man on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out through the mouth of God. Satan goes, couldn't get him to be miraculous. How about this? Let's take him to the wing of the temple. So Satan took the Lord to the top wing. They were standing on the wing of the temple in Jerusalem. And Satan said, "If you're the Son of God, cast yourself down from here. Because it is written, that God will send angels to scoop you up so that you won't get hurt, right? Now, there you are. I would have probably done the most beautiful swan dive you had ever seen, you know? And you know what? The angels would have been bound by the word of God to do that, and it would have been quite a show. Would have been quite a show. The Lord took his standing as a man. Do not tempt, do not test the Lord your God. Then what did he do? Something totally normal. Although it's not written in the Bible, it's implied. He walked down from the wing of the temple, step by normal step, all the way down to the floor. Why? Because he's a normal man. Don't have this fear to let the Lord live in you. To enjoy the Lord, to love the Lord will make you abnormal. Don't have this thought. Oh, it'll make you so normal. Okay? So the first two messages are on just this matter of being normal. A normal person is a person of light and of salt. That when you're with all of those who are deceived by the worldly system, and they're doing their thing, and you come into that room, there's a sense, this guy is not duped like the rest of us. This guy is not deceived like all of us. And let me tell you honestly, some may kind of snicker at you and say, oh, you're so old-fashioned, or you're so this or that. But when they're looking for somebody they can rely on, when they're looking for somebody they can trust, they're going to go to you, the normal one, the light, the salt. But I have to tell you, you cannot do it alone. Being the light and being the salt of the earth is a corporate matter. If you are out of the fellowship, if you are not in the meetings, if you're on your own like the Lone Ranger, the salt will become less salty. The light will not be as bright. It's a corporate matter. We, corporately, need to be clear about this. We are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Okay, let's come to message three. And let's read the title all together. Message three. It's on page 15. No need to talk. Let's read it all together. Ready? Go.
Fruit bearing by abiding in the vine.
One more time.
Fruit bearing by abiding in the vine.
So with message three now, we're making a shift to this matter, or not a shift, an advance, to this matter of fruit bearing. What does fruit bearing mean? Fruit bearing means that there are new ones gained. There are new fruit. Ones come to know the Lord through us. People get saved through us. God, through us, speaks to ones. And those ones, when they believe in the Lord, become, in a sense, fruit. Okay? There should be a sense within us, Lord, make my friends fruit. Save my friends. How does this happen? How does fruit bearing happen? That's the focus. That's the point of message three. Fruit bearing. By abiding in the vine. Let's read Roman numeral 1. John 15 is a chapter in the New Testament that talks about something that may seem a little funny, about a vine and a whole lot of branches. What does a vine and branches have to do with anything? Well, when you consider of all the types, of all the possible ways to show the relationship between us and the Lord, between us and God, between us and the triune God, there is no better type in this aspect than the branches and the vine. In John 15, the triune God is revealed. Let's read 15:1. Go.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman.
The I there is Christ the Son. So that's the Son. The Father, of course, is the Father. Let's read 15:26.
The Spirit of reality will testify concerning me.
So the Spirit of reality, of course, is the Spirit. So in John 15, you have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. That is the triune God. Now, how is the triune God revealed? The triune God is revealed in this way. The Father is revealed as what is called the husbandman. The husbandman, follow me on this, the husbandman is the source. The husbandman is the source. The husbandman is the one, like the farmer, who had the thought, the intention, the plan, the desire. It all started in God the Father, brothers. In eternity past, the Father had a desire as the husbandman. He took the initiative. Out from him, everything came. So the husbandman is the initiator. Did you know that in this universe there is a tremendous enterprise. God the Father started a marvelous enterprise. And what he did was based on the desire of his heart. He started and he initiated, and everything came out from him. What came out from him? Where did it go? He put everything into the Son. And in John 15, the Son is typified by the true vine, the vine. Consider for a second, where does a vine get its riches? From the soil. Who took care of the soil? Who put the nutrients in there? Who cultivates that soil? The farmer. All of the riches of God the Father are put into Christ the Son as the vine. Christ the Son, therefore, is the center of everything. He's the center. That's why we've got here Colossians 2:9, that him is referring to Christ. Let's read that verse.
For in
all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ the Son. He's the center. Well, that's wonderful, right? But it cannot be experienced or enjoyed by us unless there's a way that we can experience it. And the way we experience the riches of God in Christ is only by the Spirit. That's why he is referred to in the same chapter as the Spirit of reality. Let me ask you, how real is God to you? Very, very good. Very good. in our experience, how real is God to us? I tell you, why do we put so much emphasis in the Lord's recovery on this matter of exercising our spirit? It just happens to be the only way we can experience God. If we wander in our mind, if we memorize the entire Bible, word for word, well, you'd get a lot of points, right, if you memorize the entire Bible word for word. But even if you merely memorized the Bible in your mind, you may know about God, but have no experience of God. No reality of God. The Spirit is called the Spirit of reality. If God is not so real to us, how much of an exercised spirit do we have? I would say our spirit is very important. Do we have an excellent spirit? Do we have an exercised spirit? Or is our spirit buried under all kinds of other things? All kinds of other concepts and dreams and coolness attitudes, right? Sisters don't worry about this that much. They have other things they have to worry about. The brothers have to be cool, right? Joe Cool. Anyone in here named Joe? Okay. Good, we have no Joe Cools in here. I tell you, we do not want a cool spirit. Brothers, we want a burning spirit.
Amen.
When we call on the Lord, is He rich to us?
Yes.
The Bible says He's rich to all who call.
Amen.
But you got to call in spirit.
Amen.
There's no other way to touch God but by your spirit.
Amen.
You can say, "Oh Lord Jesus," like a robot. "Oh Lord Jesus." Right? All day. May not touch anything. Right? But, and see, we don't know how to tell you how to do this. It's not like there's a switch, you know, you can turn your switch, you know. Okay, but you know when you sing, when you call, if you're touching something within. Right? Don't you brothers know? Don't you brothers know? When you may call, you know, five times, and nothing. Then the sixth time, oh, hit something there. Right? Seventh time, oh, something's starting to flow. Eighth time, oh, rivers of living water, right? Ninth time, God is so real to you. And then the tenth time, I don't know, you're just in the enjoyment, right? The Spirit makes God experienceable. We need to know our spirit. We need to know our spirit,
amen.
Right? Okay, the triune God is revealed in John 15. Let's read Roman numeral 2. Abiding in the vine. Okay, let's read Romans 8:16. For the mind
set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace.
Okay, very good. Let's read letter A there. The way to keep. Ready? Go.
The way to keep abiding in the Lord is to have our mind, the main part of our soul, set on our spirit.
Set on our spirit. Let me draw a picture that probably you all have seen before, right? When the world makes a man, they make it like this, huh? When we make a man, what do? That's what we are. That's right. That's man right there. Spirit, soul, and body. Right? Spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, praise the Lord. Right? That's a and then soul, and then body. Now, when man fell, eventually something happened to our physical body. It got transmuted to become the flesh. So tonight I'd like to put up here too, flesh. Okay? Who knows, and I just want one person to answer me, who knows the parts of our soul? No. Yeah. Mind and motion will, right? Praise the Lord for the young people and the Lord's recovery. I could have asked a theologian this, and he would have went, duh, you know, but in the Lord's recovery, the junior hires, no. The three parts of the soul, mind, emotion, and will. Now, let me ask you this. And don't just guess. If you know, raise your hand. Out of those three parts, mind, emotion, and will, which is the leading part of our soul? The leading part. Yeah. The mind. Wow. I should just hand over the microphone to you. The leading part is our mind. I tell you, the key part here is our mind. Mind. In London, if you have ever been to the United Kingdom and used their underground metro called the Tube, there's an announcement that they say all the time. Because there's a space between where the train comes in and stops and the platform that's about a 6-foot drop straight down. It's called the gap. And when you go there, on your way to the Poland conference, right, one day, you'll hear this announcement, mind the gap. Mind the gap. That means, you know, don't forget about the gap. Brothers, mind your mind. Forget about the gap. Mind your mind. Write that down in your notes. Mind your mind. Where is your mind set? See, here's the key. Your soul with your will and your emotions, the things that you choose and the things that you love, all follow where your mind is set. Let me repeat that. Your entire soul, including the things that you choose in your will and you love in your motion, all follow like little ducklings your mind. Where do you set your mind? Let's read again Romans 8:6. Okay? Go. So the mind can be set on two places. It can be set on the flesh. The result of that is death. Or the mind can be set on the spirit. And the result of that is life and peace. How do we abide in the Lord? Key to our abiding in the Lord is setting our mind not that way. Don't take the wrong turn. Okay? No left turns allowed. Going right. Make the right turn, brothers. Don't make the wrong turn. Go right into your spirit. Right? So when you wake up in the morning, if you wake up in the morning and say, oh, school, right? Oh, no, school. That's a left turn. That's a wrong turn. But if you wake up in the morning and right away say, oh, Lord Jesus, that's a right turn. Amen. Right? That's life and peace. Okay. Let's read letter B. Go.
We need to let the Son abide in us. In order for the Lord to abide in us, it is necessary to let His Word abide in us.
We need to let the Lord abide in us. You may not think this, but God needs you to let him abide in you. Did you know that? What's your name?
Sam.
Actually, it's Samuel. Right? Okay. Good. Samuel, because Sam isn't in the Bible, but Samuel was a wonderful person in the Old Testament. His parents named him Samuel. Samuel! Okay. If Samuel and I had an arm wrestling contest, he would probably win. But if Samuel... Can you stand up, Brother Armin? Watch this. Pretty tall, brother, huh? If Samuel and Brother Armin had an arm... Or a race, right? Or an arm... Who do you think would... Right? I mean, it's not Samuel's fault. This guy's big, right? Okay, thank you, Armin. But listen. Samuel, in a sense... can stop God. If Armin wanted to go out that door right there, you think Samuel can stop him?
No.
There's no way Samuel's going to stop. He may grab onto his leg and go out with him, but Samuel's getting out. I mean, Armin, maybe with Samuel, is getting out that door. But listen, God can be stopped by Samuel. Whoa, pretty strong, huh? God needs Samuel to let him abide in him. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Good. That's what it says. Ephesians 3:17 says what Christ wants to do. He wants to make his home in our hearts. Christ desires to make his home in our hearts. But we've got to let him. We've got to let him. Let me ask you this. How many rooms in your heart have a do not enter sign on there? Just answer it in yourself, okay, not out loud. Consider quietly to yourself, how many things has the Lord wanted to touch? Just answer it quietly to yourself, please. How many things has the Lord wanted to enter into? Serving ones included, right? How many things has the Lord wanted to enter into? And we've put a big do not enter sign. You know what the Lord does? He doesn't enter. He doesn't enter. That's why we need to let him make his home in our heart. That's why we need to let him abide in us. Don't think you're so weak. You're actually quite strong. We can prevent God from spreading in us. We shouldn't have this thought, one day God's just going to go, bam, and spread in me. And it's all going to be wonderful. Or one day God's just going to defeat me. Maybe so. But even if he breaks you down, he still wants your permission to enter in. Why not in junior high school? Right? Why don't we start letting him come in? Consider, do we really need all those signs up? How about we begin taking some of them down? Lord, come in. Lord, in what I do after school, come in. Lord, in so many matters, just come in. I'm not afraid of you anymore. Thank you. I know now that if you come in and fill this, it's going to be normal. It's going to be wonderful. It's not going to be strange. It's not going to be crazy. It's why I was made. Let's all say, Lord Jesus, come in.
Lord Jesus, come in.
Let's say this. Lord, come in to where I haven't let you in before.
Lord, come in to where I haven't let you in before.
Okay, but how does that happen? In order for the Lord to abide in us, it is necessary to let his words abide in us. It's one thing to say, Lord, abide in me. That may be too abstract. We need to be more specific than this. Because we're serious here. We're not playing around. Really, how can the Lord abide in us? In a real way. In a real way. If you haven't figured it out yet, we are not religious. It's not about outward things. In the Lord's recovery, we are after reality. How can the Lord abide in us in a real way? There's no way that he can abide in us without his words abiding in us. He is the word. He is the written word as the Bible. When we put ourselves in front of the Bible and we receive the written words, those written words change. They become instant words. They become living words inside of us. So that when we're in a certain situation, many times there will be an instant word that he'll speak. An instant word. Your mom will say, take out the trash, right? And you know it's your sister's turn. It's your sister's turn. Why is she asking me? Okay. You read the Bible where it says, honor your father and mother. You read that. Suddenly, this verse comes up in you. Honor, honor, honor. And you want to not honor, not honor, not honor. Right? The word will come up. The word will come up. What do we say? Amen. That's what I'm looking for. This word is a key word. Amen. Let's all say, amen.
Amen.
Seventh graders.
Amen.
Eighth graders.
Amen.
The Lord's word comes up in you. What do you say?
Amen.
You sure? Or do you say, but Lord, it's my sister's turn. You know what he says? He says, honor. Honor your father and mother. Then you say, but it was her turn last time. This is the third time. Honor. Careful. Don't try and reason with the Lord too much. Okay, you can never outsmart God. But you know what he'll do? He'll just stop playing the game with you. You say, but Lord. You know, I have a 4-year-old and her favorite word is but. But. We say do this, but, do that, but. You say but this, but that too many times. The Lord will just, you know, say, all right, say what you want to say. Say what you want to say. And then you go, but Mom, it's my sin. And okay, no abiding, right? No abiding. you say, amen. Amen. Abiding. Right? How practical is this? This is really practical. Now, there's more. And what's more is precious. I married my wife a number of years ago, and I loved her then, and I love her more now. Why do I love her more now? My wife and I have had a lot of conversations about a lot of things. And many times, she has asked me to do certain things, and at least as many times, she's asked me to not do certain things. Right? When I say amen, in a sense, to her, and I let her words abide in me, and I don't do those things she doesn't want me to do, what happens to our relationship? It gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter and sweeter, and I love her more and more. So there's an interesting progression in John 15. The Lord says, first, abide in me and I in you. Then he says that my words should abide in you, which is really himself. Then if you obey his commandments, his love abides in you. And we abide in his love. Brother Lee asks in the life study, how sweet is your feeling of the Lord's love? I'm asking junior high brothers about love. That's right, I am. I'm asking you to get your mind off of homework, get your mind off of your grades, and start thinking about love for a second. Not loving Hildegard. Forget about Hildegard. How is your love? Okay, here's another question I want you to answer quietly to yourself. Okay? Answer it quietly to yourself. How precious? And answer it honestly. How precious, how sweet, how dear is the Lord to you? Okay? And there, if you're answering it to yourself, there's no reason to put on a show. Just answer it honestly. How real, how dear, how precious, how sweet and fresh is the Lord's love? I mean, again, right? Serving ones too. We all need to ask this. Brother Lee says, if it is not fresh and dear, we need to pray, Lord, why is it not sweet? Why is it not real? How come it's precious for my friend or for my mom and dad? But for me, not so precious, not so sweet, right? Listen, it can be precious for you. Really. The sisters aren't the only ones who can love the Lord, you know. Junior high brothers can be very good at loving the Lord. What's the key? Amen is the key. Amen. Amen, Lord. Take out the trash. Amen, Lord. You shouldn't have said that. Amen, Lord. This fosters a sweet, intimate relationship and ushers in a loving sensation between you and the Lord. You should have a loving sensation. I should have a loving sensation. We shouldn't go by on autopilot so long. It's not going to fall out of the sky and hit us on the head, you know. Saying amen is key. Okay, let's read C. When you say amen... Amen. Roman numeral 3. Go. So how does fruit bearing come about? I thought this message was on fruit bearing. Here we go, the overflow. Let's read point A. B. Oh, go. B. Okay, don't fall asleep. Here's the key to the whole conference. It's right here on point B. Circle it. Highlight it. Put a star next to it. How does it all work? How do we have a normal fruit-bearing life? Abiding in the Lord. Letting His Word abide in us. Saying amen to that Word. Then our sensation of the Lord's love increases. By the Lord increasing in us like this, what's happening? Light is increasing in us. Salt is increasing. Everything comes through this. This is called God's economy. It's not by our doing things outwardly. It's by God doing everything in the way of dispensing Himself into us so that we become filled with Him. And because we're branches, abiding in Christ as the vine, when this life juice of the vine flows into us unhindered with no do not enter signs to stop it, flowing into us, filling us up, we will function as branches, and branches just bear fruit. What will happen is you will go to school, everybody else will be sad with a frown on your face, and you'll be smiling. Because this morning when you woke up, you didn't say, you were the only one in the whole school who didn't say, oh no, school. You were the only one who said, oh,
Lord Jesus.
And you got filled. And you continued that filling all the way to school, and now you're standing in front of your friend Oscar, and Oscar can't figure out why you're so happy on a Monday with a test. First period. And you've been a mystery to him for a long time. And one day he just can't help himself but say, what's your secret? And you say, I have three words for you. See, you know what to say already. And listen to this. As the Lord's words are abiding in you, right, by saying amen, the Lord speaks to you. Secret things. And what he'll do is he'll speak to you about your friend Oscar. He'll say, you know what? How about let's pray for Oscar? And you ask me whatever you want, and I'll do it for you. And I'm going to give you the words to ask, because my words are abiding in you. And you say, oh, Lord, Oscar. And that day, Oscar asks you, what's up with you? How come you're always so happy? And you just bear fruit. You see? Normal. Normal. You don't wake up in the morning, put on a religious robe and, you know,
repent
on the corner. You don't do that. You're not a funny guy at school. You're a normal fruit-bearing branch in the vine. Okay. Let's read C. Go.
We all need to pray, Lord, may your life flow out of me to quench others' thirst.
So what happens? As a branch, you bear fruit. The fruit of a branch is grapes. Grapes can be made into wine and juice to flow out and quench others' thirst. Amen. How would you like to be a source to quench your friend's thirst? Amen. You can be it. You can be it, really. normal way. Okay, D, go.
Apparently,
always remember, you are not alone. You are a part of a vine tree. A vine tree. You are one of many branches. So you need all the members. Let's read Roman numeral 4. As branches in the vine. Okay, let's start again. Ready? Go.
As branches in the vine,
much better.
Life is the source. Love is the condition. And fruit bearing is the goal.
Okay, this is the last point. Let me have your attention. None of this will work. This will all just be theory if we don't have these three things. As branches in the vine, life is the source. Right? We can do nothing apart from the tree. We need to abide in Him for the life. Life is the source. We're not the source. The goal is to bear fruit, to get your friends saved. But the condition that all of this happens in, the condition, the realm is love. Here we are talking about love again at a junior high brothers conference. The condition is love. You are not an individual branch, separate, as part of your own tree. You're part of a corporate thing, a corporate organism. Your relationship with the other members matters. Here's the third question I want you to ask quietly. I want you to answer quietly. How is your relationship with the other members of the vine? You see, we like to say, God isn't real. All of this isn't real. Nothing's real. Yes, it is real. You need to take care of the condition. Why is our love not so sweet? Because we haven't said enough amens to His word. We've limited Him too much. Why are we not so fruitful? The problem is not with the Lord. The condition of this is love. I'm a church kid just like you. And I know that even in the church, there are cliques and there are groups of ones based on all kinds of things. There's a certain group of perhaps ones who consider themselves really, really, really smart. Right? They're the smart ones. And then there's the ones who nobody thinks are so smart. Be careful. Don't think that. In time, you may be surprised. Then there are the pretty ones. And how sad that in the church there would be some who are led to believe that they're not so pretty by a fellow member. Then there are ones who are the cool ones. How sad that in the vine there would be ones who think they're not so cool. There would be ones who, because of maybe how they talk or how they act sometimes or how they look, which was no fault of their own, They're not so welcome in that group over there. There's something wrong with this. The condition is love. Brother Lee asks, how is your condition with the fellow members in the vine? He says it matters. It matters. Tonight, we're focusing on this. In your cabin time, focus on this. We don't focus on this that much. Tonight, we're focusing on this like a laser beam. How is our condition with the other members? We should feel comfortable to walk up to anybody in this room. We should feel comfortable that we will be welcomed, that there won't be any thought, you're not part of my group because of such and such. Your skin's not the right color. No comments. Your this or that is not the right. You don't have the right qualifications to be in my group. What are you doing? Invading. I know in a certain locality, and I won't say where, it is among the young people, it is almost entirely separated by race. This has got to stop. There is no race in the new man. In the organism of the triune God, there's only two things. Vines, a vine, and branches. This matter of race is from the devil. Are you affected by this? Are we letting that Are we letting that affect the fellowship between us? This should not be named among us. When the Lord died on the cross, He terminated all of those things. I don't care if you're from Asia, Mexico, America, wherever. It just doesn't matter. One time when I was in high school, I was having a time with some saints. They were all my age. And then we went to eat at one of their homes. And they had a big table. And we were all sitting around this table. There was probably 15 of us there, all around this table. And, you know, I was with these guys all the time. And I was with them all day. And suddenly, it dawned on me. It just happened that I was the only Caucasian in the whole room. You know how much I cared about that? That much. It meant that much. What's that? Zero. I didn't even know it. Can we say the same thing? We should all be able to have the same testimony. Among us in the Lord's recovery, it matters zero. Not only in the matter of race, but in class, the wealthy and the not so wealthy, the cool and the not so cool. The Lord came for the weaker ones. Are you so strong? You may be so strong you miss the Lord. You don't need Him. The Lord came for the small ones, weak ones. That's us. That's all of us. Saints, dear saints, there should be no insulation of any of these things. And let me say this. Your parents are fellow branches in the vine. You may never have thought about that, but your mom and your dad our fellow branches. How's your relationship with them? Sorry, we can't ignore it and say it doesn't matter. It matters. If we want to have a normal, fruit-bearing life, we have to take care of abiding in the Lord, all of these things, and we have to take care of our relationship with the fellow members of the vine. Amen?
Amen.
So let's do this. Let's take about 3 minutes, and I want every eye closed. Don't fall asleep. Pray. Pray. Lord, what about my relationship with the other members? How is it? Have I let worldly things come in and separate me from them? There should be zero talking right now.